Good. Let's move it a little bit more like that. There we go. Okay, we are rolling. Let me just get that going there. Okay, cool. Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we're going to take a look at Saturn's upcoming square to Uranus, which is happening right alongside of Venus turning retrograde later in December. So, although these are both transits that we're going to focus on quite a bit in the month of December, I wanted to take a look at them prior to getting into the astrology of December, because these are transits that are process oriented, meaning the Venus retrograde is a long-term process. It's already in effect. Venus is moving towards Pluto right now. Saturn's going to square Uranus right around the same time that Venus turns retrograde. And this is the third time in 2021 that these two planets have come into a square. So it's really wise, if we want to understand these transits in particular, to do some tracking of them and treat them like a process that we need to be reflecting on actively, not just once, not just here's what to expect on this date as they square each other, but looking at it as though, you know, this is a transit that has a history behind it. So that's what we're doing today. I'm doing a live stream, so welcome everybody who's here live with me today. I've been doing some more live streams lately just because I really like the energy of them. Also, I decided today that just to give you guys a sample, that I would pick a few people from the audience after I've gone through my talk to do some live readings for. So I'm going to take a look at Saturn square Uranus in some birth charts. So stick around and volunteer your birth chart later toward the end. And, you know, I'll take a look and give you guys some tips for how to interpret Saturn Uranus in the chart. Just by virtue of seeing some other people and how it's landing in their charts. And sometimes that just, you know, primes the pump and helps you to just get a better eye on your own chart. So hopefully that will be helpful today. All right. So in the meantime, roll call in the chat box. I see people are here. I would love to hear where you're all coming from. I see England. I see Sydney in Texas and Maryland, Belfast, Tempe, the UK, Tucson. And Iowa, let's see, Phoenix, Hampshire, and New Zealand. All right, so many people. Italy, wow, that's incredible. A bunch of people from Arizona. There's like quite a few Arizonans here. Phoenix, Paris, wow, so cool. Montreal, Germany. It's just really neat. I just like the Netherlands, Macedonia. That's crazy. So thank you guys for joining me. I love it when international people are here. Yeah, it just means a lot to me to share this community. So here's how I'm going to break it up today. We're going to look at the real-time clock, take a look at this transit and where it's been in 2021 already. We're also going to try to frame that within the context of Jupiter's conjunction with Saturn in Aquarius, which happened last December, right before Saturn and Uranus met for the first time in February. Then we'll look at how they met in June and how they're going to meet again in December. We'll talk about their archetypal combination. And then we're going to ask the question, what does it mean that Uranus and Saturn are getting together in a square right as Venus is turning retrograde and conjoining with Pluto? How might we read that as a combination? And for that, I'll be looking at the I Ching today. So the I Ching I cast this morning during my morning meditation prayer time, just kind of asking like, what's going on with this, you know, this coincident, two events happening at the same time, Venus turning retrograde with Pluto and Saturn and Uranus getting together. So that's the order in which we will move. And then after that, I'll take some time to look at a few charts and give you guys some samples of how Saturn and Uranus may play out in a person's birth chart, also depending on context and what else is going on in a person's birth chart. So before I dive into doing all of that, reminder that we have 38 days left to go in fundraising to support this channel for 2022. So right now we are 271 backers into my fundraising campaign with 38 days left to go. We're just a little bit above last year's pace, which is good, but we still have a long ways to go. So our goal is 1,367 backers total. We're just trying to see if we can raise more support from the audience last year than we did this year. Hopefully we can. We have 20,000 more subscribers in the last year than we had last year. So the hope would be that we can draw the same kind of support and generosity from the audience again this year. What does this do? Well, when you pitch in, you're supporting this channel and a small staff of people and me and my family. This is literally a big part of how I make my living as an astrologer. So when you pitch in, you're supporting me, you're supporting this creative content. You're saying, this is my channel. This is my go-to for astrology, or one of your go-tos for astrology. And I value it. Everyone values it differently. So if you don't have money to contribute, your prayers are deeply appreciated. Your support in any way is deeply appreciated. Even just a thumbs up on my videos, sharing them and subscribing to the channel, sending me an email once in a while when something means something a little bit deeper to you. Those things support me just as much. So if you're able to contribute financially, I deeply appreciate it. And when you do, you can also pick out rewards. Like, I've got tons of exclusive video content that's only through the Kickstarter, including my comprehensive like astrology of 2022 video. I've got sun and rising sign horoscopes for all 12 signs for all of 2022 you can order. I have some personalized readings where I look at your birth chart, though there's only about 60 of those left. So those tend to go like right away. So if you want to get one of those, you have to go pretty quickly. The best deal I offer is if you are like, hey, you know what? I want to study in one of Achyuta's classes at one point, you can pledge $900 and get any of my classes. If you're a current student, you could pick up any of the advanced programs. If you're a brand new student, you could pick up my year one course, which starts in June of 2022 and November of 2022. But you can also use it as a credit beyond that if you want to. Same for any of the programs. You can also bundle them. And if you bundle, say, year one and year two together, you're saving even more money on the program. So I always run this sale at the last, you know, days of the year as a way of supporting this channel. And it's the best time of year, if you know you want to study with me, to use that discount, because we don't offer it again throughout the year. Okay, well, I hope to gain your support. I pour my heart into this channel every single day. This channel is literally my spiritual practice, and it's a huge joy for me to share it with all of you. And hopefully encourage all of us to have astrology as a spiritually enriching part of our daily lives. I'm a monk at this stage in my life. I'm like a householding monk. So, you know, my astrology is sort of part of almost like an ashram mode of living. I get up in the morning, I mantra meditation, and I work out, and then I sit down, I read sacred scriptures, I gather my research, I write my notes, I create this video. It's like half of my day, every single day, year round. So I want people to know, when you're supporting this channel, that you're supporting someone who's really making this the focus of their spiritual life, and hopefully to your benefit. So thank you guys, really appreciate it. And the link to the Kickstarter, I will put into the, I'm going to put into the chat box right now. It will also be in the description of this video and in the comment section of this video once the live stream is posted. So there's the link in the chat box right there. And if you guys have any questions about it, you can always email me, info@nightlightastrology.com. All right, let's pull up the real-time clock and get into our talk for today. I'm really stoked about this big transit coming up. It's the last exact transit of Saturn and Uranus, which to me is kind of like, well, thank God, because this is not an easy transit. Is for me anyways, it has not been easy. And I'm actually going to share with you a little of my own story of how this has been playing out in my birth chart, just to model it for you. And then hopefully, like I said, at the end, some people can come on, give me their birth chart information. I'll pop it up and we will take a look at how the transits may have been affecting you in the past year and how they may continue to next month. All right, anyway, so let's take a look at how this is going to play out. I'm going to advance this chart by a few weeks here and get right into it. So first of all, let's look at the proximity of this event to Venus's retrograde. So here we're at about December 19th. And around December 19th, you can see that Venus is stationed. You can see the little S right there in a conjunction with Pluto, just about a degree off, and is going to turn retrograde. So the 19th into the 20th, it turns retrograde. Basically at that same time, if we push this forward to about the 25th, let's say about the 23rd to the 24th, right about that time, then you're seeing Saturn squaring Uranus. Now, Venus in its retrograde by that time on the same day will come into a conjunction with Pluto. So yesterday we started by asking the question, what should we expect out of Venus retrograde in the month of December? It's going to take us all the way through January. So we kind of previewed that. Today, we want to preview Saturn-Uranus and then ask the question, what does it mean that it's sitting next to this Venus retrograde? And there you can see it right there. I mean, it's a pretty powerful moment. And remember, it's still coming off from eclipse season, right? We're still coming out of eclipse season during all of this. We have our next eclipse on December 4th, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll be looking at that as well. But it's a very powerful time of year. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I always make my video of the year for all of the transits of the year. And there's a number of big transits of the year. The Saturn-Uranus transits were huge. Last month, we also had some major astrology with eclipses going on, or with the lunar eclipse that we just looked at. The month of December, with an eclipse, a Venus retrograde with Pluto, and a Saturn-Uranus square, maybe one of the top two or three most intense transit periods of the year, given the combination. So let's go back in time and look at when these other transits of Saturn and Uranus have happened before we break down the archetypal combination today. Now, if we go back, I'm going to go back in time to February 1st. So if we look at about the middle of February, you can see right here, and it's not exact, but you can see it close enough. Here are Saturn and Uranus squared right around February 17th. That was their first square. Now, remember what they were coming off from. If we go back to about December 20th, right? Look at this. On December 20th, Jupiter had gotten together in a conjunction with Saturn. Historic, great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. Really, these conjunctions mark the beginning of a new era. And we talked about this at length last year. I would recommend going back and revisiting those videos for greater context, because what we're seeing now is continuation of what that the launching of this new era of our lives is really all about. Because as soon as this new era commences with Jupiter's conjunction with Saturn in the sign of Aquarius, then within 2 months, go forward to 2 months later, Saturn in Aquarius is hitting a square to Uranus in Taurus. And then if we follow this out a little bit, we'll go to June. Let's go to about the middle of June. It's about June 15th or 17th or something like that. I can't remember the exact date, but here you can see them again. It's about middle of June that Saturn and Uranus are in the square with one another all over again. Then they separate, and now in December, they're coming back. They're coming back right as Venus is conjoining Pluto in its Venus's retrograde. And then they don't come back again into an exact conjunction. Next fall, if we move this forward a little bit into, let's say, we're going to go to about October of 2022. In October of 2022, you're going to see that Saturn and Uranus get into the same degree range. Like if I back this up just a little bit here, you'll notice that Saturn is at about 18 degrees, and there's Uranus also probably even just a few days previous to this would have been. Yeah, so you can see they're both at 18 degrees around October 11th. So they hit the same degree, but they never become exact. And that's by October of 2022. So 2022, we still are working with Uranus and Saturn, but not nearly as intensely as 2021. So that's a silver lining to me, because this has been a difficult transit. So that's what we're looking at just from the technical standpoint. You guys know I like to lay it out so you can actually see it, see the timelines, and so forth. Now, what I want to do is I want to call on a couple of phrases that I just really love from you guys know one of my favorite books, The Archetypal Universe by Ren Butler. There's a couple of phrases that he uses that I'm going to use as like launch pads for us today for understanding Saturn and Uranus. So first of all, remember that Saturn-Uranus comes on rides on the coattails of Jupiter-Saturn, which means the beginning of a new era. But that beginning of a new era is marked. The initiation of that new era is marked by the Saturn-Uranus dynamic. So what is that dynamic? Careful and cautious changes in incremental openings and awakenings, a pattern of facing problems and finding solutions in succession, and then finally, the liberating side of structure and routine. Now, he goes on for another page and a half to talk about this combination, but I want to focus on that today for a few reasons. One is that when we think of Saturn and Uranus, you're essentially thinking a little bit like the principles of expansion and contraction meeting one another. Saturn, of course, tends to be the cosmic red light, the no, the just wait a minute, take it slower, be more cautious. Maybe it's a negating principle. It's the cosmic no or the red light. But on the other hand, Saturn tends to grant things in time that have been done in all earnestness, with discipline and seriousness, with gravitas and maturity, through the slow, painstaking efforts that we make. Saturn recognizes things and often delivers amazing results through that kind of discipline and stick-to-itiveness and so forth. So it's a very interesting planet in that respect. Uranus, on the other hand, tends to be idealistic, rapid, revolutionary, progressive, ideologically driven, driven by the desire for progress at all costs, sudden, disruptive, outside of the box, eccentric, sometimes perverse or unusual. Uranus can also be a rabble rouser. You know, Uranus can be uncompromisingly perfectionist about things in its vision of what things should be or could be. So it's a really interesting new era in our lives, marked by the encounter. And it's a struggle because this is a square. Squares are of the nature of Mars, which means that a square tends to provoke conflict as well as action. So these two planets have been provoking action as well as creating conflict or frustration for the past year at the outset of a new era. A new era means something different to every person, but that's just a way of kind of encapsulating it. So if you think about it, I can't think of one area of life where something truly revolutionary, when it happens, hasn't had a lot of hard work behind the scenes or coming previous to it. So for example, let's just choose a picture in nature. Let's say that there's a moment where part of a cliff falls off into the ocean. Big Uranian event, like the Tower card in tarot, super Uranian event. It's like this sudden, complete erosion of a structure, sudden dramatic change to the landscape, happens really rapidly, an avalanche, cliff falling into the ocean. But we know on the Saturn side of this dynamic, of this archetypal dynamic, that change that appears very sudden and like a random mutation of the landscape probably happened due to precipitation, small micro changes in the environment and in the plates below the earth or something over probably hundreds or even thousands of years, right? So that's the landscape of Saturn-Uranus. Saturn-Uranus can create amazing changes that seem very fast and sudden, but then immediately hit you with not so fast. This is a great idea, but you're going to have to step back and be frustrated and work through this thing for a little bit. You're going to hit a milestone. It's a two-step forward, one-step back kind of deal. You're going to, things can evolve very rapidly and dynamically, and then suddenly you're going to have to be forced inward upon yourself, and you're going to have to rethink, replan, redouble your efforts, go back over something you thought was already done, face a frustration, double down on your duty and discipline like that. And then it feels like all the progress was lost, but it hasn't been, because something is gradually changing. Remember this phrase: a pattern of facing problems and finding solutions in succession, incremental openings and awakenings, the liberating side of structure and routine. Think about, I was in, obviously in the yoga, industry for quite some time, and still am in a sense as a teacher of bhakti yoga, but not studio yoga anymore, but in studio yoga, there's something that a lot of people come in for, when I say, why are you here to do yoga at our studio? And they fill out a little questionnaire or whatever. And something that they would say often, our clients would say, is, I just want to feel freer and happier in my body or in myself or something like that. It's like, well, it's an interesting thing to do, to come to a yoga studio where you're going to get into a regimented, you know, probably like a daily yoga practice on a mat or a daily meditation practice. Like, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? That we have some innate sense that the freedom I want, the ease that I want, the happiness, joy, spontaneity that I want is not entirely a natural state. Not like some of the memes would have us believe, just be your, you know, most natural self. You know, it's like, well, my most natural self is complicated. Sometimes my most natural self wants to smash my face in taco pie, you know, like, and other times my most natural self doesn't want to get off the couch for a week. And sometimes my natural self is joyous and has beautiful skin and just dances around in sparkling fields of sunshine and, you know, dewy grass or whatever. So our natural selves are complicated. Most of the time, the freedom that we want, whether it's mental freedom or physical freedom or just that feeling of joy and ease, that, you know, there's a not a feeling like I can do anything, but a feeling that things are open and there's a flow to life, that kind of freedom. Most of the time, that's created. The people who have that I've ever met have impeccable practices in their lives, whether it's the regulation of their diet and their sleep, or, you know, a spiritual practice or a physical wellness practice, or the way that they practice in their relationships. Maybe practice feels like a heavy word. I love that word, but maybe they have habits. They have wellness habits. You know what I mean? That they have stuck to over a long period of time. There's, you know, there's been some elbow grease put into that feeling of ease. And really, Saturn and Uranus is saying the same thing. Listen to what Ren Butler says again, the liberating side of structure and routine. When I was a kid, you know, there'd be stupid posters in like my gym class, you know, like these crusty old gym teachers who would be like, no pain, no gain, or, you know, like something stupid like that. Like, come on, push-ups. I don't know. I just had like some, I definitely had like those kind of gym teachers. I don't know if you guys ever did, but I did. And I just remember thinking to myself when I was a kid, it feels like more pain. It feels like you might be a little into the pain part of this, you know? And we're not talking about masochism. We're not talking about the freedom found in eviscerating yourself or something like that. We're not talking about a macho, no pain, no gain kind of thing. This is not the, you know, Uranus Saturn doesn't have to be the seven rules of kicking ass and taking names in life or something like that. But there's a simple point, which is that structure and spontaneity go together like jazz music. You know, like really good musicians play off from structure. They're very disciplined, and that gives them the freedom to play and become spontaneous and improvisational. So Saturn Uranus, if you think about a new era in our life that has been about saying, look, this new era is not going to come through some kind of wild or reckless idealism. It has to come through some kind of measured and mature relationship with your wildest hopes, with your most inspired passions. It has to be brought in and made mature somehow. So, but I don't see that as an oppressive message personally. I see that as equivalent to a really good jazz instructor who says, you have talent, you have some great improvisational skills. If it's like Uranus, who just wants to be a revolutionary jazz player, I can see that creative spirit in you. And if you learn the technique, the theory, if you master these sections that are relatively boring, it will serve your creative ends beyond what you can currently imagine. And so this idea of structure and breaking from structure shouldn't be seen as some kind of forever polarized duality that has nothing in common. To be free, we have to know what it means to be confined. If you want to find real freedom, you have to be able to find it in the smallest cracks of life. I always say to people, and this is such a snarky kind of mean thing to say, but I always say to people who don't have kids, at least people I'm like tight with who, you know, don't take offense to it or whatever. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I was doing with my time before I had kids, because kids come into your life, at least for me. And like, there's a lot more stuff going on. There's like a lot more schedules and you know, you're responsible for other human beings from their bodily fluids and their food and the whole thing. So, and my wife, you know, more than me, obviously breastfeeding and stuff like that. So, but I always talk to my friends, you know, don't have kids. And I'm like, they're like, oh, I'm just so stressed. I'm like, you're not stressed. You have oceans of time that you don't even understand, you know, like just cause I'm so, I just want to pull everyone into my, you know, my, it's like, I want you to come into my crab in the bucket scenario, drag you into my suffering, but no, I'm playing. But the thing is that, I have, even though my life is busier than it ever has been, I have found that it is because of the pressures of that busyness that I have become more interesting and innovative with my use of time than I ever was in the past. And so there's something about that constriction, that necessity that allows for innovation, creativity, and novelty to come about. And I'm choosing to look at this year that we've been in as just that. There's been steps forward and there's been steps backward, but we can't just think about Uranus as forward and Saturn as backward. We can't just think about Uranus as yes and Saturn as no. We have to look at them as this really interesting dyad, the relationship between discipline and freedom, between enclosure and breaking out of enclosure. We have to be able to find freedom in small and interesting places before we can really appreciate what freedom looks like in more grandiose and big ways too, I think. So I wanted to speak to this combination a little bit and say just that what we're coming up on in December with Saturn meeting Uranus again has to do with the meeting of these two qualities, with these mature but sometimes restrictive qualities of Saturn, as well as the innovative, original, forward-looking qualities of Uranus. If we're not careful with these energies, they tend to manifest themselves in some pretty terrifying ways. If you think, for example, about the very Promethean story of Frankenstein. In that story, the doctor wants to harness the power of life and create, you know, bring someone from the dead and, you know, animate them and so forth. He does that, but then he faces consequences for it. So there's always been that story. Prometheus steals the fire from the gods and is chained to the side of the cliff for his transgression, even though he's a hero, but he's also a thief. It's complicated. So the ancient Greek mythology tells us really clearly in so many different stories in so many different ways that progress comes to those who are capable, and that there's something about your ability to hold the heavy, wintry, long-suffering, long-enduring space of Saturn, the gravitas, the maturity, the humility, the pain that goes hand in hand with being able to receive the fire of the gods, the fire of the gods being illumination, the creative spirit, to be granted some kind of breakthrough in our lives and rapid progress in our lives in different way. Because if you don't, and if you try to ram through with some kind of idealistic fervor that's immature, that's youthful, there's transgression for that. There's punishment somehow karmically. It's always been some kind of warning about that we've received from many different traditions, right? So we do have to be careful about that as well. It's like these Saturn-Uranus dynamics can be wake-up calls about unchecked progress or idealism. For example, when I'll tell you something, I want to share a few stories about how this has come into my life, both positively and negatively, some of the lessons that I've learned. So I have Saturn in my 10th right now, which is my career house. Uranus is in my first, which has a lot to do with your sense of self and as well as the body. So thanks to all of your support last year in my Kickstarter, I was able to hire more staff, which I really needed. I was working probably about 60 hours a week in general, and I hired a personal assistant, and then we hired more staff as well to be able to help me so that I can have more time to do what? To do all of the things that create within me the most creative, original, useful content. For example, I was working so much that I was having very little time to read anymore. Where does my best content come from that's novel, that's not just the same old stuff recycled? It comes from me reading new things and being inspired by new ideas and, you know, rekindling my own inner thought life. If I don't have time for that, the content suffers. But I can't have time for that if the content requires so much of my time that I don't have time for it. You know what I mean? So one of the great things that happened from that Kickstarter was in January and February, I started hiring more people to help me. And so then gradually I start getting more time, but then that staff, what did they do? Well, they started helping me restructure some of the way that I do things, which took a lot of work. So by June, when it came back, we were launching my new courses, but with a totally new platform and done in a way that saved a ton of time and headache because I had a staff of people to help me design it and implement it in a new way. It was more work. I haven't really honestly completely tasted the freedom of all of that hard work because it's been, oh my gosh, help is on the way. I'm going to have more time to do this. Okay. But now that the help is on the way, we have to create a structure, right? And then the structure has to be implemented. And then there's another structure that has to be implemented. Behind all of this is my desire to write books, right? When I started my career, I wrote a book. It was published by a major press. That's what launched my whole astrology career. I'd like to write more books at some point. I feel like I have a book baby waiting to be born again at some point. I can't do that unless it's like trying to turn a huge freighter around. Like the Titanic is going to hit that iceberg because it can't turn quickly enough, right? So if you see the iceberg coming and you know it's going to take a while to turn that ship, you got to start turning it. And in a sense, you avoid a bad outcome, or let's say in this case, you're trying to create more freedom, but it's going to take a while to get there. So this year for me, with Saturn in my 10th square Uranus in the first, has been about trying to have more time for my spiritual life, for my family, and for my intellectual life so that I can be a better teacher, astrologer, create better content, et cetera. But it's been about having to implement new staff, new structures, da, 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 to get all of that done, right? So that's Saturn Uranus. Now, here's one of the things that happened for me that was much more like a little slap on the wrist. So during all of this, I got really frustrated with how long it was taking to have a little bit more personal and spiritual time for myself. I got a little defiant, and I would say a little, just going against everything that I just said. And I was like, you know what? I just need some me time, like real Uranus in the first house, you know? I'm sick of building all these structures because I'm just exhausted. But remember, I've been doing this like 60, 70 hours a week before I had kids, for 11 years, and very gradually building a platform, gradually building all of these things. So I just got to this point where Saturn hit Uranus again. And I was like, I'm done. I'm just going to go do something for myself, you know, all crazy, you know? So I decided, oh, I'm going to go sign up for jujitsu. That'll be something that I can just do for me. Right. And as opposed to what I really was intending to do, which was to spend more time with my family, more time reading and studying and the things that I love that are really actually really good for me. Not that jujitsu isn't good for some other people out there. Right. I'm not trying to diss jujitsu, but for me, it was not the right application of my energy. So what happened? I broke a rib. First of all, I fractured a rib. I got a black eye, and then I got a hernia, which I have to now have surgically repaired. That all happened under Saturn Uranus in June. And then the injuries and accidents happened while Saturn and Uranus were still in orb and Mars came through and hit both of them. So that's like your Frankenstein lesson, right? That's like your, I don't like that the process of freedom is taking so long. So I'm just going to try to ram my way ahead. And I went off script from what I knew in my heart was in integrity just for me. I've lots of friends out there who are really into jujitsu as a spiritual path, as a, you know, physical health path, and God bless them. I think it was really, really cool. I really liked it, but I got my ass kicked, right? And it was specifically because I was not heeding the very simple wisdom of this transit. You can see the freedom on the horizon, but it comes through patient, cautious, incremental openings that are done with a conscientious, mature, disciplined effort. You have to change a structure. It takes a while. There's freedom on the other side, but it takes a while. You want to be able to write your book or do this or do that. Follow the plan. It's going to feel a little two steps forward, one step back, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. So that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned from this Saturn Uranus year. And no surprise, Uranus in the first house of the body, you know, my physical health got brought into it. Also, just grab by the balls on that one, I'll tell you guys. So, I mean, but it was worth it. For me, like, one of the things that I'll never forget, I was in an ayahuasca ceremony once in South America. And I was going through this period of a ceremony where it was just really hard. And I just felt like I was getting all these really hard lessons, you know? And I said something like, I just feel like, you know, the medicine, the ayahuasca was like rubbing my face in it or something like that. And there was a shaman's apprentice that was working with us. And he said, why don't you just stand up and laugh about it and say, thank you. This is glorious. Rub my face in it more. Because what does that attitude do? It's not that the universe will respond by kicking your ass harder as much as it is that the universe says, all right. See, if you have a joyful spirit, if you can laugh at yourself, if you can roll with the punches and be like, wow, that was what an amazing lesson that was. What a vivid portrait of the planetary energies. I got my butt kicked. How glorious, you know? If you can take that position, it's not that the universe will beat you down harder for it. It's that the universe will actually lift you up from within it because you're lifting yourself up. You're saying, hey, I accept this. This has been some hard lessons, but like, wow. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's so beautiful. You can't make it up, you know? So I recommend that perspective for people. If you get grabbed by the planets, just say a little hallelujah. What do you have to lose? I think the universe loves it when we just, in a way, it's not like we're celebrating our mess ups or our mistakes or our arrogance or whatever we might've fallen into. It's not like we're celebrating it, but we can celebrate how glorious of a teacher the universe is. We can actually be happy about it. You don't have to just be like, oh, why couldn't I have gotten it right? Maybe because you're taking your ego too serious. Maybe you're just taking yourself too seriously. Your ego is on display, even in the way you're reacting right now. And that was sort of what this guy was telling me. It was like, if you stand up and just have some, you know, joy about getting your face rubbed in it, you know, then, it, you know, the universe becomes a little bit less like a punitive teacher and a little bit more like, you know, an older brother or sister who's got you at a headlock giving you, you know, a noogie or something. It's like, we can take that view too. The universe is receptive to the way that we also want to receive the universe. It's like a very flexible, you know, the divinity is very flexible with us. If we receive divinity in the spirit of joy, divinity is not going to be like, well, I'm not joyful. I'm wrathful. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, Saturn Uranus, you might learn some hard lessons, trying to go too far, get pulled back, you know, and it can kind of suck. But at the same time, you can be joyful about it because the breakthrough can still be had. The overall breakthroughs that you're trying to create, it's not too late. It's never too late to, you know, get back to the mature step-by-step approach to creating change in our life. Most change does not come instantly, radically at some kind of, you know, like desert shaman gathering. Although I've been to those, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that can happen, but like a lot of really substantive change in our life happens just like that cliff falling off into the ocean. It's gradual. It's step-by-step. And if we can allow ourselves to go through that kind of a process, we can find freedom in a lot of little nooks and crannies in life. And there's, you know, amazing things spring forth from nooks and crannies. Supernova can spring forth from tiny little places, right? So that's the idea here. Now we have to ask the question to ourselves, well, what does it mean that this Saturn-Uranus dynamic is happening at the same time that Venus is turning retrograde? So for that, I consulted the I Ching. And the I Ching came back with hexagram number 31, which is called attraction. And the gist, and it was no changing lines, the gist of this hexagram is really simple. What are you attracted to? Whatever you're attracted to, you will be submissive to. It's kind of a radical concept if you think about it. So let's just say, for example, usually we think to ourselves, I want a slice of pizza. I want, you know, to go and do this thing. I want this kind of education, whatever it is. And we think this is what I want and I am going to go do it. But from the standpoint of this hexagram, it's more like I am caught in the tractor beam of an image that I desire. And then I become submissive to the pull that has on me. And then the question becomes, are you submitting yourself? Are you serving things in your life that are going to serve you in return that will be reciprocal, that give as much as they take, and also that create virtue and that create peace, that create harmony, that create well-being, that create soulfulness, that create joy, and that ultimately lead us along, you know, a meaningful spiritual path, which means we grow. We grow in wisdom, we grow in kindness, we grow as people. So are we, because here's the thing is, inevitably we are going to serve and be drawn through the tractor beam of our desires. We're going to serve those things. Try to think about it that way, just for now. Try to think about it that way rather than this is what I want and I shall go do or get what I want with my will. Rather think about it in return. An image has me in the tractor beam, I get pulled toward it most of the time with not a lot of awareness as to why I'm being pulled by that image, why I actually desire that thing, which means I'm in service to something I don't understand fully, which usually means that I won't get great results, that thing will probably not, it may harm me in some way, or it may not lead me down a good path. The more that I don't understand about why I'm being pulled into something, and yet I think it's what I want, and I'm going and doing this thing. So the hexagram 31 is sort of all about that. And the hexagram says, well, if you become aware of what's pulling you in, of what you've become a servant to, even a slave to, your desires in certain ways, and then you can be set free. If you become aware of why you're getting pulled into something that's unhealthy, you can be set free. And often this hexagram will come up as a way of saying, what are you attracted to? What's got you in the tractor beam? And why? And is it healthy for you? It's just a call to like reflect on that. Now, on the other hand, this hexagram can also be a sign of saying, look, you're going to serve someone. We all serve a master of some kind. Is your master a cruel master? Or are they a kind one? Are they generous? Do they want to give in return to you? Do they give as much as they take? You know, is it a renewable, sustainable resource, this thing that we're pursuing? Does it give back to others? Does it enhance our lives, our health, or you know what I mean? And when it does, then this hexagram has a way of saying, you know, the path is strewn with good fortune and blessings. When you're attracted to and in service to something that is truly good, then you know, there's no way in which your life will not be benefited or blessed. And I see that. Now, what would all of that have to do with Venus retrograde? Well, one of the things that Venus retrograde with Pluto can do for us, very simply, put really simply, is it can expose our desires. It can show us, this is what you actually want. This is what you're lusting after. This is what has you in the tractor beam. And this is whether it's yielding good results or not. Because if it's yielding some rot, the rot will crop right up with Venus Pluto. But if it's, you know, if it's yielding something healthy and beautiful, then it will show itself. If you've been hesitant to commit to something that you love or desire, and it's actually good for you, but you've been hesitant out of fear, Venus Pluto can say, this is something that's really beautiful and good and rich and life-giving. Pluto, the underworld, is not just death and darkness. It's also that which is primordial and life-giving. So Venus Pluto, here's something to be attracted to that you should let go and just give into it a little bit more, because it's actually going to serve you. I mean, how many times do we just cut ourselves off from the things that we desire because, you know, we're afraid of goodness coming into our life? You know, I can't tell you how many people, you know, again, in the yoga world, ayahuasca world, you know, we go to ceremonies, people so scared of this little cup of tea. And what are the effects of it? The effects of the cup of tea were, for most people, were purgative, deeply healing, profoundly life-affirming, you know, stuff like that. People would be so scared of it. And I had to reflect upon this myself so many times. Why am I so scared of something that, you know, there are some scary parts of an ayahuasca experience, of course, but the process of this is bringing greater peace and health and wellness. It's pointing me in the direction of sustainable spiritual resources in my life, from people to practices. Why am I afraid of this? Because, you know, there's a little bit of death involved in surrendering to things that are really, truly healthy and good for us. There's a vulnerability. There's a sense of, I don't know if I'm capable of surrendering myself to things that are actually good for me. But at any rate, Venus, I took this hexagram to be directly speaking to the fact that this, here's Saturn Uranus coming along and saying, look, there's a, maybe there's some kind of change you're trying to create, but it's incremental and you're having to work very hard toward it. And at the same time, Venus turns retrograde and says, are you creating the right things? If you're going to put so much labor and blood and sweat and tears and sacrifice into building something, then are you building the right thing? I mean, people build skyscrapers with Saturn Uranus. You know what I mean? People build all sorts of industries and empires with Saturn Uranus, because it's the willingness to, like, you know, Frankenstein, I'm going to build, I'm going to create life. I'm going to do something great and outstanding. I'm going to create, you know, some kind of breakthrough in my life. And I'm going to work hard and slow incrementally and, you know, the labor and the sweat of existence to get to this thing. Well, at the same time, Venus turns retrograde and says, are you sure that the thing that you're pouring all of this energy into is good for you? Are you sure that it's serving you? So I see this Venus retrograde along with Saturn Uranus as a way of refining our desires and refining our sense of what's worth our time and our effort. You know, sometimes it's like we're more of a rebel without a cause than we think we are because we haven't examined our causes. So, you know, when Venus in Saturn sign comes together with Pluto, it's like, what do you really find beautiful? What do you really find attractive? What are you really serving? And is it healthy for you or not? It's a good question to ask as we're reaching the pinnacle of Saturn Uranus, where, because here's the thing, right? What Saturn Uranus often compared to the Tower card. Well, what happens if we're not in service to things that are truly good for us? It's like building a castle on a loose foundation, like a sand, waves just come and knock it over. You spend all this time, this is going to be revolutionary. I'm going to pour so much into this. And, you know, if it's not rooted in something that's healthy, that has real virtue inherent within it, you know, it'll topple soon enough in the tides of time. It'll just come down. It's a relief, at least, to know that with so much time that we put into building things that matter so little, actually, that give back so little, at least we know that we have determination. We can be so determined. In yoga, we call this the mode of material nature that we call rajas, which means people, you know, with such determination, you know, are building empires and so much energy and stick-to-itiveness and discipline and intelligence that go into trying to build things. But in the mode of rajas, they don't last. So Saturn and Uranus, as much as we're talking about all of this, you know, breakthroughs that take time, you have to be patient to build the thing and da da da. It's like, well, it better be a good thing. It better be a lasting thing. It better be something that really adds beauty to your soul and to the lives of the people around you and so forth. At least on some level, it better be about that. Because if it's not, then it, you know, this is also a way of saying, look, it's a facade. The whole thing will come crumbling apart. One of the other great meanings of Saturn Uranus is the structure that's taken so long to build that instantly comes crashing down. So a refining of our desires, a refining of what images compel us in relation to this great work of Saturn Uranus. That seemed to me to be what the I Ching was addressing. So I hope you find that useful. I was really moved by the I Ching's images this morning when I sat down with my, sat down to do my morning meditation. I would love to hear from all of you about your stories with Saturn Uranus. How are you seeing this play out in your lives, in your charts? Use the hashtag grabbed and put Saturn Uranus and talk about what you've seen. What did you see in February? What did you see in June? Love to hear you guys' stories. Maybe we'll do some sharing about them, in the next month or so as Saturn and Uranus come back through. As promised, I want to take some time now to look at a few charts. So what I'm going to do at this point is to invite people who would like to share their birth chart, and I'm going to pull it up and just tell you a little bit about what I'm seeing with the position of Saturn and Uranus right now in your birth chart and where it's been throughout 2021. Okay, so I'm going to look at the chat box now. I'm seeing Golden Heart is the first one that popped up for me. So I'm going to do Golden Heart. I don't know what your name is. We'll just call you Golden. So Golden, thank you for sharing. Got March 22nd, 1977, 6:11 p.m. Norman. So I work with whole sign houses. I'm a Hellenistic astrologer. So I'm going to pull out the outer planets from the chart as well. In my first year program, we pull them out for the entire first year program to learn chart vision from the ancient or classical perspective first. And then in year two, we bring them back in. So I'm going to do that again today. Okay. So I'm going to share this on the screen right now. And let's go ahead and take a look. All right, so so here's Golden's chart on the screen, and I'm just going to highlight for you the areas that Saturn and Uranus have been in so far. So here we have Saturn in the sixth, and Uranus has been transiting through the ninth, right around that moon. Saturn has also been opposing natal Saturn. So Golden, you have a moon Saturn square in your chart between the ninth and 12th houses. So that's a dynamic that is probably being activated by the Saturn Uranus square in 2021, because it's been in close range to both of those planets. It's an interesting position. First of all, let's just talk about the Uranian impulse that you have in your ninth house right now. Since May of 2018, Uranus in your ninth house has been, you know, planting the seeds of change and revolution and progress and looking for different kinds of mental and intellectual or spiritual breakthroughs. People often start studying astrology when Uranus goes into their ninth house, or they might get interested in tarot or divination, or go live in an ashram for a while, or study abroad somewhere. But the need or the impulse to create a paradigm shift is what Uranus in the ninth house tends to be about. Now, at the same time that that impulse has been going on, it's been hitting the moon in the ninth house. It's been hitting, you know, activating by whole sign house, activating Jupiter in that ninth house. So this is a pretty important area of your natal chart. And I would suspect that some of the more important teachings, teachers, courses, learning events, or experiences would be happening for you in general. I wonder about family history around religion, spirituality, because of the placement of the moon in the ninth house and its square to Saturn in the 12th. I also wonder about, you know, old ancestral or family karma relative to education or relative to the topic of God or spirituality, women in particular. What is the role of women within religion or spirituality, the role of the goddess? So I see this as potentially also crossing over into questions, say, about marriage and belief or sexuality and belief, because the moon in Taurus is exalted in Venus's sign and, you know, will often activate things that have to do with the body in general. So I look at that area and I go, yeah, there's just a lot of change happening in that area. And I wonder if the moon has felt a little repressed or challenged by Saturn in the 12th house. And if so, is Uranus trying to create an opening for some kind of healing or change right now? So this is just a little quick take, right? Then I look at Saturn transiting through the 6th house. And I think, okay, Saturn's pressing in on the moon in the 9th and pressing in on Saturn in the 12th. This to me would reflect something of ideological tension and also the connection between the mind and the body. The sixth house tends to be a place of conflict. It was traditionally called the joy of Mars. Saturn in a really airy sign like Aquarius in that house, to me would be potentially speaking to ideological conflict. And looking at that conflict in relation to the moon in the ninth, what does it have to do with women, the body, spirituality, learning, maybe foreign countries, sometimes that comes up, family history and ancestry. Those are the things that I would initially go for with this transit. And I would think about some kind of new perspective that's challenging an old perspective in your life. And maybe it's having an impact on key relationships or even the way you view your own body or health. Just that kind of more vulnerable area of the moon is getting activated by whatever kinds of paradigm shifts are presenting themselves as new or challenging to old ones. So that's the main thing that I'm seeing in your chart, Golden. And I, of course, you know, usually in sitting with a client and talking to them, I can get some feedback and roll through some other possibilities if that one isn't sort of resonating, because, you know, these are these fields, houses, planets can be pretty multidimensional or multivalent, which means there's other possibilities for how things could be expressing themselves. But those would be the ones that I would go for first. And with the transit coming up in December, I would just think it's another big moment for these kinds of topics to be active in a really strong way. You know, with Venus retrograde in your fifth house, the place that's associated with pleasure, I would also wonder about this paradigm shift again in relation to things like sexuality or pleasure or joy, maybe the topic of children and pregnancy, something like that, maybe happening at the same time. So thank you, Golden, so much for sharing. It was fun. You know, I'm doing these kind of off the cuff without any prep time or research, obviously. So, but hopefully that gives you something good. I am going to go on and see what else comes up here. Let's see. I see Katrina. Okay, so I'm going to go pull Katrina's chart up here. Thank you, Katrina. So we've got March 25th, 1978 at 3:14 p.m. in Glasgow, Scotland. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly. Okay. Let me just double check. I've got it. March 25th, 1978, 3:14 p.m. Okay, got it. So I'm going to put this on the screen again here. Katrina, thank you for volunteering. Okay, so let's do the same thing. I'm going to insert the presence, just sort of hypothetically, of Uranus in the 10th and Saturn in the 7th in this chart. Now, these are angular houses. When you have Saturn or Uranus right now falling in angular houses, it means you're a fixed rising sign, or what the ancients called a solid rising sign. So if you have any fixed sign rising, which would be Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, or Taurus, the Uranus-Saturn dynamic are happening in angular houses, which tends to mean they're much more dynamic, a lot stronger. Those places were called the kentrons, or the pivots. And they have like the meaning of being like centers of power in the chart, real strong vocal planets when they're in those places. So you don't have planets in the 7th or the 10th, but there are a few things being activated here. Maybe the biggest one just generally is the natural sign-based opposition between Saturn and Aquarius and your natal Saturn. So you're in the midst of a Saturn opposition right now. And you know, that can definitely be the Saturn opposition halfway through a second Saturn cycle. So it's a pretty pivotal moment karmically. And it has a lot to do right now with questions about in your personal sense of dignity, integrity, importance, self-reliance, strength of character, and the way that you might be triggered by other people, key relationships, probably intimate relationships, to learn or grow or consider someone or something else. But I would imagine pretty deep lessons happening in the realm of relationships right now that are somehow, they could feel like they're an affront to you, like a, you know, a direct challenge to your sense of personal agency or dignity or importance or sovereignty or something. It's the typical Saturn and Leo stuff, right? These could be very good for you. Or, you know, it's just everybody's different, but like I could see this being something that might be actually healthy, because Saturn on the ascendant, people sometimes are a little bit of a wall and like, I'll like to be in control of things, you know, and then Saturn coming into the 7th can shift the center of gravity to the role that someone else plays in helping direct your life path. So maybe that's a good thing right now. But generally speaking, the Saturn opposition to natal Saturn is probably the biggest thing that I see with the Saturn-Uranus dynamic in your chart at the moment. So at the same time, Uranus is in the 10th house, trying to create those kind of revolutionary changes in a house that is associated with career, work, professional life. So as Uranus is trying to create those breakthroughs, Saturn in Aquarius in the 7th house might be suggesting that there needs to be, for as much as you might want to create newness in your career, that there's the need to address certain kinds of issues in relationships or in your social life or in the social arena generally. For example, I could very easily see if you're in a workplace that you have some load of responsibility with Saturn on the ascendant. You know, a lot of people with Saturn on the ascendant will be responsible types. So they'll be given a lot of responsibility or power or authority or something like that. And I wonder if the revolutions are happening in the workplace, for example, that in concert with Saturn in the 7th, our conditions socially are changing somehow that create a lot of pressure on you to change your identity or to adapt in a way that's really difficult. For example, COVID has changed a lot of work environments. How has that been? How does that affect someone with Saturn on the ascendant? Or let's say that there's new policies for how employees need to be treated. And it, you know, in some ways, maybe it's a good thing. In other ways, maybe it makes this, you know, streamlining processes in the workplace that you're in charge of a little bit more complex. Do you know what I mean? I have no idea what they would be. I'm just trying to get at what looks like some question about you and how you're being asked to evolve or adapt or change and how resistant you are or not to that because of this revolutionary energy in your career house and because of the expectations or obligations of Saturn in either the marriage house or a house that can describe some kind of social pressure in general that you're facing. I think that this is going to step up for you a lot more in 2022 and three than it probably has already due to Saturn moving into the opposition with natal Saturn during this next year. But you probably started experiencing some of these changes in the previous year. Now, the other possibility that I would look at here would just be generally, are there some interesting, but you know, not totally clear connections between the workplace and relationships that are demanding a lot of time and energy at the same moment, meeting someone new, being at the crucible point of an important relationship, while there's also a lot of transformation happening in the workplace. The two don't necessarily have to be intimately connected to both be having an impact on you and your sense of self or health or, your sense of individuality or something like that. Okay, so again, spitballing a little bit here, but I hope that was helpful for you, Katrina. Thank you for that. I'll take one more and then we'll be done for the day. I just wanted to give you guys, you know, just some sense of, you know, when I see people reading charts, it helps me go back and look at my own chart. It just kind of gets that symbolic mind working. So if you know something about astrology already, you should be able to go back into your chart. And by seeing me talk about houses and combinations, sort of maybe get a little deeper insights. I feel like it's so hard being in the vacuum of looking at your own chart by yourself all the time. So, you know, one of the things that I'm really big about in my classes is getting people together so that we can all look at charts and work through theory together and just being exposed to the way other people process symbolism in general tends to stimulate new insights for ourselves and how we read our own charts and charts of other people. So at any rate, okay, so I'm going to look at one more here and then we'll go. Good Lord. It's like a crazy, when I was a kid, you'd put seeds into the popcorn thing and then they start spinning. This was before microwave popcorn, I remember. And then all of a sudden you'd see them popping up and then the whole tower would start filling up and then coming out the thing. That's like the chat box right now. It's a good thing that people can't get injured in chat boxes by this kind of stampeding. So whoever made me aware of that crazy thing that happened at the concert last time I did this. Okay. It's it's moving so fast that I'm trying to figure out how to, okay, I can kind of like stop it. Okay. Looking for one. Oh, see, it's like every time I click on one, it just keeps flying. So I'm having, okay. I'm going to go with, okay, I've got one here. We're going to go with, Amy Diaz Hollis. I just picked you randomly here. I was trying to look for someone who has maybe something, sun in a Saturn ruled sign. Was that kind of fun? So I'm going to go with yours. Okay. So let's put your information in. So you're January 29th, 1985. All right, Amy, I've got January 29th, 85. Yeah, okay, got it. So I'm going to put this up on the screen now so that you can see it. This will be our last one for the day. Okay, so here's Amy's chart. And I wanted to pick someone who is an Aquarius, if possible, or born maybe born under a Saturn ruled sign. So we've got the best of both worlds here. We have a Saturn, someone with Saturn, Saturn ruled sign rising. Amy's got Capricorn rising with the sun in Aquarius. So we are looking through lens of Saturn in the second while Uranus is in the fifth. So these are the two placements, right? So we're talking about a second house, fifth house connection with a sun and moon in the second and fifth house. So, wow, this must have been a really dynamic 2021 for you with Saturn conjoining your sun, Jupiter conjoining your sun, Saturn squaring your natal moon, Uranus squaring your sun, Uranus conjoining your moon a few times. So, you know, it's like a little cosmic initiation that you've had in the past year with both luminaries getting so lit up. What to speak of the fact that this year you also had Pluto conjoining Mercury and your ascendant, which is going to come back again in the year ahead. So when I look at that combination and I see, hey, look, Pluto and Venus are going to get together on your ascendant when they retrograde as well. The first thing I think of is major transformation, either of identity or body, like health, physical appearance, lifestyle, diet, exercise, plastic surgery. These are the kinds of things that I'm used to seeing. Health questions. But then second part is identity questions. Who am I and what am I doing with my life? On the ascendant, we tend to embark upon a whole new chapter, and it often comes through the pain of Plutonic transformation. For example, my father is a Capricorn rising. He, I think I told you guys in a recent video that when Pluto conjoined my moon, we found out my father was seeing someone else. My parents got divorced, etc. But when Pluto crossed his ascendant, he broke up with that person that he had left the marriage with my mother for and is now single. So Pluto over the ascendant was a brand new chapter of life for him. In many ways, very healthy. He would say that now. He has said that now. But it happened as the result of this, in some ways, painful event, which was a breakup. So Pluto's over his ascendant again. This happened about last year as Pluto was right around that 25, 26 degree marker of Capricorn that he broke up with his girlfriend. This year, it comes back on the ascendant and he has COVID. Now he's starting to recover from COVID, thankfully. But my point is that when Pluto goes over that point, and what to speak of Venus retrograding with Pluto on that point, your character, your identity, your body, core issues are going to be transforming. Maybe there's a little bit of pain, a little bit of that quality of death and rebirth going on with it, but the regenerative part of this is what you have to look forward to. I would say between now and March, there's quite a bit that you're going to go through. So you know, kind of just buckle up. But you already went through some of it this year, right? You already had Pluto go over your ascendant once. So you might already be familiar with Pluto. And honestly, sometimes the second pass or third pass of Pluto over the ascendant is going to bring about more of the initiation of the next phase than the kind of death part, which sometimes comes first on the first pass or something like that. So, you know, that's what I would look at initially for your chart going on right now. But then secondarily, with Saturn and Uranus squaring across the second and fifth, first of all, I think what's going on right now around the topic of money, finances, what's going on around, you know, business or work, Saturn in the second is probably doing a lot of more responsible, heavy lifting around money, finances, work, business, resources, jobs, you know, stuff like that. It's a good year. You know, you've had Jupiter in there. So there's probably been some success or some opportunities for growth. Sometimes there's also big expenses that come through or alternations between expansiveness and contraction with Jupiter and Saturn in the money house. Also around this have been questions about the fifth house. So the fifth house Taurus placement with the moon in there will sometimes signal, hey, I'm having a kid. I'm getting pregnant. I'm having a child for the first time, or I'm having another child. So the idea of a creative renaissance or revolution in your life with Uranus having entered the fifth house, that's been developing slowly since May of 2018 when Uranus entered that fifth house. Now, as it continues to, you know, kind of churn through that house, it starts hitting the moon. Well, the moon is the ruler of your seventh house of marriage. The moon is connected to home and family. The moon in Taurus can be a very fertile planet in the fifth house of pregnancy. So I also wonder, with Pluto over the ascendant and Uranus on the moon, are you becoming a mom? Are you becoming, you know, a spouse? Or has there been some big identity change relative to the topics of like domestic life or family life or marriage life? Maybe. On the other hand, has this been a period of time where there's some need for total physical and creative transformation? You know, I'm changing my body. I'm following more creative pursuits, you know, or I'm being challenged because I want to follow, I'm trying to recreate myself, trying to follow some creative pursuits, but there's this kind of heavier energy of obligation and necessity in the financial house that's been weighing me down a little bit, or making sure that, you know, it's that two steps forward, one step back kind of thing. So those are the tense areas in the chart that I'm looking at. And I suspect these are the same areas that are going to be activated in the next couple of months as this, you know, as these transits come through. Now, if you, for example, if you already have children, then sometimes this can also mean that there's changes in their lives that are really important or have a bearing on your own. For example, I don't know, let's say your kids are getting to an age where there's more personal freedom available to you, or you're going back to work, or so there's other life changes that could involve, you know, something if you already had children or whatever the case might be. But questions about joy, creative fulfillment, finances and money, obligations in the material sense happening, those are the tensions between Saturn and Uranus, the same time that Pluto's pulling over the ascendant being like, you know, die and be reborn. It's such an intense transformative energy in such a personal place right now for you. So I'd be curious to hear what you've been going through in the past year. I think you have probably the most intense placements of any that we looked at today. But I'm scrolling up to see if I can find, kids will be moving closer to me soon, Amy says. Interesting. See, that would be pretty much right in line with this. Did you have any major events in 2021 that kind of coincide with any of these themes? I'm curious, with Pluto having gone over the ascendant already. See if she can respond or not. I'm not sure if you're still there. She's like, got my reading, peace. No, I'm just kidding. So in the meantime, while we're waiting, love to chat more. Maybe you don't want to reveal so much in a public chat box. I get that. If you want to write to me, it's info@nightlightastrology.com. I'd love to hear a little bit about your story. So in the meantime, I hope this gave all of you some creative insight and inspiration for reading this transit. It was a fun to hop on live with all of you today. Don't forget, my Kickstarter is underway. We've got, 39 days left or something like that? And we're still, you know, we still need about, you know, 1,000 more backers. So we're slowly trying to gather as much support as we can from all of you guys. I really appreciate it. Pitch in. I'll put the link in the chat box one more time. Any and every donation helps us get where we want to go. And yeah, you know, I'm putting into the chat box right now. There it is. Pick up a reading, pick up an exclusive video for a reward, pick up 50% off to, you know, tuition to one of my classes in 2022. Appreciate your guys' support, and we will see you again tomorrow.